And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading of the Good News according to the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is to be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fatted cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to their farm, another to their business. The rest laid hold of their servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroying those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guest, he saw one there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to them, 'My friend, how is it that you came here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. So then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be the wailing and grinding of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I got an invitation because he invites us, but everyone not come. Don't come.
Okay. Wife's in the rehearsal. That's a good idea. So, whatever. That's what I think. How many of you have been to a wedding recently? Okay. How many of you have been to a wedding in the last couple years? Okay, so we did a little wedding, you know. And, you know, what did you wear when you went to the wedding?
Dress clothes.
Dress clothes? Did you go in jeans? Okay. Did you go in a t-shirt? Most of the time, you know, you sort of dress up. You know, when we were kids, you know, we went to a wedding. We would go with our Sunday best. In other words, on Sunday, you had sort of a special, you know, set of clothes that you would save for church. It would be your church clothes. And of course, you know, that when you went to a wedding, you know, that you was sort of, something special because it was important. And, you know, before I started coming here, you know, I used to have a wedding ministry and used to do quite a few weddings. And some of them were very elaborate and some were very simple. But yeah, and it was interesting what people would wear. And of course, you know, the bride, of course, would always dress up and, you know, would always have, most of the time, a wedding dress. And if you're familiar with the show, you know, what is it called?
Say Yes to the Dress.
Say Yes to the Dress. Whether you watch it or whether you just sort of hear it because you're in the other room,
you know that
wedding dresses are awful expensive, and sometimes even people have two of them, one for the wedding and one for the reception. And of course, you know, the guys usually have their tuxes, and even, you know, sometimes in small weddings, you know, that even if they don't go with a tux or the formal dress, usually they have something nice that they wear. And the thing is that what we wear says a lot about the event. It says it's very important. It's very special. And so Jesus, you know, sort of uses the parable today of a king who decides, you know, that he's, you know, his son is getting married. So he's getting ready to have the wedding and the reception. And the thing is that, you know, even with weddings today, you know that weddings aren't a one-day deal. Usually, in most cases, you know, they're sort of 3 days. You know, the night before you have the rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner. Then, of course, you know, the day of the wedding, you have the wedding, and then you have the reception. And a lot of times, you know, the day after, what happens? You know, very often, you know, that the family gathers with the bride and groom, and if they haven't left on their honeymoon, maybe to open gifts. If not, you know, that a lot of times you gather with the friends from out of town, and maybe you have some of the food left over from the reception, and everybody sort of goes on the way. So it's sort of a three-day thing. Well, back in the time of Jesus, weddings just weren't a couple of days. I mean, they were basically usually a week or 10 days long. I mean, it was a real social event. And the thing was, is that you didn't have, basically you didn't have social media, you didn't have email. You really didn't even have mail. So in order to get your message out or your invite the people, is that you had to send your servants out. And so your servants will go out and tell the people that, okay, that the son of the king is getting married. Please come and celebrate with him and celebrate with the king and this big celebration. So the king does. He says, okay, I got everything ready. So he sends out his servants and tell them, okay, we're going to have a wedding. Please come. And the people, they must not have liked the king real well. Because, they decided, I really don't want to come. I've got things to do. I got to go back to my business, so I have to go tend my farm. They gave a lot of excuses why they couldn't come, to the wedding. So he sent his servants out again. And says, hey, listen, I spent a lot of money. I spent a lot of time. We've got this really big feast. We're going to have a really big celebration. You sure you don't want to come? Sure you don't want to come and celebrate and be with them and celebrate? And they said, no. As a matter of fact, they even got so mad the second time that they started beating the servants, and they even killed some of the servants. That was pretty terrible, right? What do you think the king should do to those people? I mean, they sat there and they beat up his servants. They even killed his servants. What do you think he had a right to do? Well, according to their thing, an eye for an eye, whatever you did to the king or to his people or his servants, he had the right to do to you. And so he did. What did he do? Remember what the story said? He went out and he killed them. He burned their towns. He tortured them. He did the same thing. Now, Jesus later is going to sit there and teach us that, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but vengeance is mine. In other words, that even when somebody hurts you, even when you're dealing with a bull, even when, somebody sits there and treats you not well, is that it's not up for you to sit there and to punish them. It doesn't give you the right to treat them as terribly as they treat you. That's up to God. And you know about that. That sometimes, when we deal with bullies in school, bullies, as you look at them, aren't really happy people. They may have their group of guys. But, the thing is that, those people are usually friends with them because a lot of times they're afraid of them. If I don't sit there and do what this guy does, is that, he's going to beat me up. He's going to bully me. And so the thing is that, that these individuals, they run a life not by fear, but they don't usually have a happy life. Their life is one of fearing and beating and and really being mean to other people. And that's not a happy life. And God says, you know, that, you know, these people, you know, they'll get their just rewards. A lot of times, you know, when people are mean to other people, it comes back to them. Coming back to them, and they don't have any friends. They don't have, you know, they don't have a lot of people. And the thing is that generally they're not real happy people. Okay, well, I'm digressing from the story. So the thing is that when nobody comes, the king says, you know, I got all this food. Go out and gather anybody you see. That's really a nice thing, you know. You know, he's going to share it with, you know, with sometimes with the less important, you know, with the, you know, sometimes the people that would normally get invited, with strangers, the good and the evil. So he goes out and he invites all these people, which is really a wonderful thing to do. And think, boy, the king's a pretty nice guy. You know, he's invited all these people, and he's pointing, you know, the people that really maybe don't normally get to come to a wedding, especially the wedding of the son of the king. And so they come and in the party. So the king comes down, you know, after the, you know, during the wedding and whatever. And he walks in and he sees somebody there. And the person's not dressed properly for the wedding. Now this story also, so, you know, really when I, you know, when I first heard it, a lot of times listened to it, it really would get to me. I mean, you know, there's probably a thousand reasons why this guy wasn't dressed. Maybe, you know, that he just suffered a hurricane. Maybe he just suffered, you know, through an earthquake. Maybe somehow is that, you know, that, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of money. You know, the poor individual was there, you know, and he was just, you know, glad to be there and coming and enjoying this feast, but, you know, really didn't have, you know, the proper thing to wear. But the thing is what the story doesn't say is that part of the whole thing of the ritual of the wedding is that when you came in the time of Jesus to a wedding feast, that if you weren't properly dressed, is that they gave you something to wear. They gave you fitting garments. That was part of the whole tradition. That if you came unprepared, is that they would give you a wedding garment to wear. So somehow this person came, and when he was offered the wedding garment, he said, no. King wants me to wear one. I don't want to wear one. I don't want anything, you know. Yeah, I just want to come and enjoy, you know, the food and the music and dancing and all, have the good time. But, you know, the king says, you know, well, you know, I'd like you to wear this, but no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, and I don't care what he wants. I'm just here for the good times. I'm just here for the good and the party. And so the king sits there and has him bound and taken out. In next Sunday's Gospel, we're going to hear the story of the two great commandments. You know what the two great commandments are? First one is to love who?
Neighbors.
Well, that's the second part. Who is the first part? Who should we love above everything, above all? We love God. And the second part is we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And see, so the thing is that, you know, when we do that, that is our way to the heavenly banquet. And so the thing is that Jesus is saying it's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That if somebody does you wrong, it doesn't give you the right to sit there and to hurt them. But you're still supposed to treat them as you want to be treated. But yet, you know, sometimes is that when we're invited to that banquet, it also says is that we're not supposed to necessarily take advantage of everything. That, you know, that when we're called, is that, you know, that there is some rules that we must follow. That we just can't come and be expected to sit there and to get everything and to celebrate it, well, sometimes without necessarily following rules and regulations. And so if we want to come to the heavenly feast, which God calls us all to, and to celebrate in the love of God, is that sometimes we must follow the rules to do right and to avoid wrong. And so I guess it's, you know, it's sort of how we treat people. You know, we treat people, you know, by sitting there and loving them even when they do wrong to us. And sometimes, you know, by following rules and regulations, even though we don't necessarily want to. You know, one of the greatest ways you can sit there and love your mom and dad is by doing what they ask of you. So if there's household rules, you know that when we follow those, that's a sign of our love for them. And sometimes when we break them, saying to you, to your parents, you know, I just don't, it's not that I don't love you, but I love myself more than I love you. Because what I want to do is more important than what you think I should do or what is right. So let us, you know, think about how we, you know, love God, love our neighbor, love ourselves. And how we show that, and we treat others, and how we follow the rules, the Ten Commandments, the laws of love of neighbor and God, in living our lives, so that God can take us to heaven, and we may go to the heavenly banquet we feast. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Who's going to
We need